Mind Your Farm Business on realagriculture.com is brought to you by RBC Royal Bank.
Canadian farms are involved in a global business, which means currency and exchange rates can have a big impact on the value of crops, livestock, the products grown and produced on Canadian farms. It's not that long ago, if you think about it, the Canadian dollar was worth as much as $1.10 US. More recently, it's been trading in the 70s, so that's a wide range. Whether you're buying inputs or selling outputs, somewhere along the way, each transaction usually has an exchange rate applied at some point. My name is Kelvin Heppner, and welcome to this episode of Mind Your Farm Business. It's our series on farm management here on Real Agriculture, and we're focusing on understanding and managing currency risk in this episode. Can we say that a lower Canadian dollar is better for farmers, for Canadian agriculture, since we're mainly in the business of exporting? Is there an ideal exchange rate for farmers? As well, what are some of the options or tools for protecting against swings that can have a big impact, both good or bad, on the bottom line? What's the best time to lock in an exchange rate? We'll be joined by RBC's Keith Furley in just a moment. We were joined on here on Real Agriculture now by Keith Furley. Keith is a commodity futures advisor with RBC Dominion Securities. And Keith, when it comes to farming and agriculture in Canada, an export-oriented sector, currency, whether it's cattle or canola, currency and volatility in the currency market can have an impact on the bottom line for Canadian farmers?
It sure can. We've seen some movements here recently in the Canadian dollar dropping off significantly, and great for farmers on the sell side of things. If you're selling your product into the U.S. or selling your product globally, most global agricultural grains, specifically in canola, soybeans, whatnot, are traded in U.S. dollars. So even if it's Canada selling canola to Japan or China, that trade usually takes place in U.S. dollars. So when we see a drop in the Canadian dollar, the buyers on the other side see our canola product or our hogs or our cattle get cheaper to them. So it benefits in a big way for the farmer, depending on what product you're moving and where you're moving it to. On the wheat side, we've seen some frustration from growers here in Canada. That is, if we're moving wheat into the U.S. or even wheat to the local elevator, prices haven't been as sensitive to the Canadian dollar weakness as we'd like to see. And I don't have a quick answer or a quick fix for that. That certainly has frustrated growers. And I think we look at it as a market that's in its infancy. We've still seen some dramatic changes to that marketplace. And so there still is some growing pains, so we put it that way, that we're seeing locally and across Western Canada.
So in general, is it safe to say that a lower Canadian dollar is better for agriculture, or is there an ideal exchange rate relative to the U.S. dollar for Canadian farmers?
Oh, I think it's beneficial because we are net sellers, right? We're in the marketplace. We're producers. We're growing products, and then we turn around and we export most of the stuff that we're producing. We use some of it locally, but net we are moving it somewhere else. Just like we see in the energy markets, as we're selling crude oil, selling a different product around the world, it's beneficial for us to have a lower value. As consumers, you flip that around the other way, and we've seen a lot of machinery move in from the U.S. into Canada, that flow has certainly slowed, because as a buyer now you're turning around and that the machinery cost has all of a sudden jumped 10 or 20% from where it was just a few years ago, and that's all currency based. Maybe there's a little bit of raw material price that's gone up, some different costs that have gone up, but just the currency move alone has hurt growers that do that on a regular basis, bringing product, trucks or machinery into Canada. That is hurting us, and it's going to change flows, let's put it that way. can't say there's an ideal currency rate. You know, everybody's got their own preference. That is, you know, some people go back to, oh, it'd be great if we had a 60-cent dollar because, you know, I'd be selling my canola for that much more or my wheat for that much more. And then if you're a consumer, you might say, hey, let's go back to 19 or 2007 when the dollar was briefly at 110. So, you know, where's the medium? And that's the marketplace is trying to decide where that level is. We did see a shock to the currency markets here in Canada because the Bank of Canada cut rates now twice in the last 6 months, and that's certainly put some downward pressure. The Bank of Canada is trying to stimulate things here, trying to make sure that growth continues and trying to, you know, help things along because of the slowdown in the oil patch. That's been a big cause or a big contributor to the sharp sell-off that we've seen or the weakness that we've seen here in the dollar in the last few months.
Can you expand on that relationship between interest rate policy and how it impacts currency values?
Well, you know, the big thing with currencies and interest rates is where are things going? Where's the inflation? What's the general consensus as far as are we going to see you know, rates continue to slide? Are they going to go back up on the upside here? And the two 25 basis points, a 0.25%, we've lost 0.5% now on the dollar, really is taken away. You know, the interest rate advantage that we may have been holding here ever so slightly above the U.S., well, we've given that away. And so interest rate sensitive investor, Canada does not look overly attractive anymore. And that's pulling some dollars out of Canada. And that's also putting downward pressure on the Canadian dollar.
Mm-hmm. Okay. So it has to do with your rate of return on when you're in that currency kind of thing.
Exactly.
So we usually refer to the value of the Canadian dollar as it relates to the US dollar, but you mentioned how our exports go around the world, and it's probably also important to watch how other global currencies relate to each other, particularly how the US dollar matches up against the euro or some of the other dominant currencies.
Yes. Well, and the euro has been a key one here recently with some of the issues that they've had locally, and that's been spurring off, you know, into the global marketplace. There were some forecasts, just for our listeners, they may not be familiar, but the euro trades at a premium to the U.S. dollar, and had been significant premium. So, for example, we've been in the 110 area. The euro has been as high as 130. So, you know, 130, 130 U.S. dollars will give you 100 euros. That has come down a long way. Some people were, and some forecasters were thinking the euro was going to go to par with the U.S. dollar, so continue to lose and get that cheaper and cheaper and get to par. It's kind of stalled out around, did get to 108 and then stalled out now around the 110 level. So that helps European buyers. You know, you can look at your Volkswagen or BMW automaker in Europe. They want a cheaper euro. So they've been wanting to, you know, keep their euro currency lower, put some pressure on it, keep this downward pressure going because, again, from an exporting standpoint, they benefit from a lower euro rather than a higher euro. We don't export a lot of grain specifically, or canola, I guess, is what I'm thinking off the top of my head, into that marketplace, but rather more, you know, flows into the Chinas, to the Japanese market, into the American market for that matter. They're more of a bigger customer on that side. On the wheat, you know, there's flows all over the place depending on quality and you know, Durham and whatnot, or there are some markets in Europe that more maybe not as sensitive to the currencies, but looking for more of the product that they're looking for, I guess, let me put it that way.
And when we're talking exports, a weaker U.S. dollar will help drive American exports of corn and soybeans and livestock, which, granted, we lose that value or the benefit of having a relatively weaker Canadian dollar, can help drive North American exports, which has an impact on prices paid back to farmers in Canada as well?
Yes, but if the U.S. dollar was weaker, you would see that they'd be more competitive. One of the issues, though, that we've seen here is the U.S. dollar has been stronger as the euro comes down, as some of these other currencies come down. There's been a lot of talk in the trade that it's a currency war. Everybody's trying to water down their currency, so that stimulates their local economy, and the U.S. has been getting kicked by that. They're having difficulty. Wheat growers are probably familiar hearing saying, U.S. wheat values or futures are overvalued when you compare them to Black Sea and other regions. Why? Well, it's because of currencies. It's not so much that $5 wheat or pick a number is expensive, but when you value that in U.S. dollars and then you're looking at buying it, as a buyer in Europe or maybe an African nation, you're looking at it going, wow, this is way more expensive because the U.S. dollar has been so strong and some of these other currencies have been so weak. So that's hurt the U.S. exporter from that standpoint, the corn exporter, the wheat exporter, the soybean exporter. Soybeans, they've been seeing much more competition out of South America. We've seen that before, but even more so this year because of the strong U.S. dollar. That's what's been putting pressure on some of the currencies in the U.S. recently, is because the currency value is appreciated so much for the U.S. dollar that they're having difficulty competing against cheaper South American supplies.
Mm-hmm. Makes sense. To bring this back to the grassroots level for Canadian farmers, with currency wars and this type of volatility in currency, what are some of the strategies or tools, options that they can take to maybe mitigate or take advantage of some of these swings?
Well, one of the things, or a number of things you can do, one of the things that many growers have probably heard of or have done before is if you like the currency rate, if you like where the rate's at, if this thing, Canadian dollar, continues to sell off and gets to a level where you go, this is a fabulous level. At this price, I can make money if I'm producing wheat or canola or widgets for that matter. You can actually go to your local RBC branch and make fix the currency. So you fix the rate to say, here's my rate. I've fixed in $50,000 or $100,000 at this rate, and now I've got it locked up for 3 months from now or 6 months from now or whenever your product is coming to the market. That's one thing you can do. The other thing you can do is you can open a futures trading account, futures and options trading account. You can step into the futures market and say, one contract is $100,000. I don't think this market's going much lower, or I'm concerned that if the market does rally back up, so if the Canadian dollar starts to strengthen again, I'm going to lose on the barley sale that I'm making into the U.S. or the canola sale that I'm making into the U.S. or soybean sale, I should say, not maybe a canola sale, but a soybean sale into the U.S. So I'm going to actually buy a Canadian dollar contract today because of that sale is going to be 2 months from now and it's worth $100,000. So I don't want to see the Canadian dollar all of a sudden start to appreciate. If it continues to go down, well, then my net price when I actually make the delivery to the buyer will be higher. But by buying that Canadian dollar futures rate, you actually have the rate locked in. Is it a little bit speculative? You could look at it that way. I prefer to look at it as a hedge. This rate now is locked in. If the market runs up, your trading account will gain in value. If the Canadian dollar weakens or continues to weaken, your trading account will go down, but your sale that you're making on that barley, malt barley sale or soybean sale, the net dollars you're going to get back when you convert it to Canadian dollars, is it going to be greater? And the two should offset themselves. So you do have to margin that position. If you put one contract on, maybe a few thousand dollars, but if for some unforeseen reason you see the dollar rally a penny or 2 cents and all of a sudden it's rallying higher because crude oil rallies or some other external shock to the market what we weren't expecting, you're going to be protected on that trade. The third way or the third alternative you have is to actually buy a call option. So maybe you don't want to step into the futures. Maybe you don't want to limit your benefit from a downside move in the Canadian dollar. And you think, well, I've got to do this 3 months out. I can step in and buy a call option, maybe just a little bit above the market. So if the dollar's trading at 76 cents or 77 cents, I can go out and buy a 78 cent call, spend a few hundred dollars. So if the market continues to go down to 75 or 74 cents, I still benefit from that, but I've spent a couple hundred dollars to say, I want some price insurance just in case this dollar goes back up to 80 cents, for example, as an extreme, because crude oil runs up to $100 or $60 or $70, pick a number. It really doesn't matter. It's just going to protect me if the Canadian dollar all of a sudden starts to appreciate, and that sale that was $100,000 that you thought was going to work into $130,000 all of a sudden now is $120,000 Canadian dollars or $110,000 Canadian, because the dollar's taking a big jump on you. So that's the least risky way of doing it, is just buy a call option. Gives you that protection, but gives you that benefit if the market does continue to weaken.
What do you recommend for time frame for when you lock it in? Should you coordinate that with when you're selling your exportable product?
Exactly. When are you making the sale? So I've got some growers say I'm moving some soybeans 3 months from now, and then I'm going to move another load of soybeans into the U.S. 6 months from now. And if you're a larger grower, maybe that's every month you're going to move some product into the U.S. So I would time it to when you're looking at doing that sale, when you're going to be getting those U.S. dollars being paid in U.S. dollars, and coordinate the two together so that you've got the protection until that sale is made. Once the sale is made, then you can take the trade off. Same thing if you're fixing it with your local RBC branch, you can say, okay, I need this 100,000 for 3 months from now, and then another 100,000 6 months from now. I want to lock those two rates in because I don't want the currencies to affect my bottom line.
And I guess it would be the same situation if you were looking to buy equipment out of the States or make a purchase where you want it to be favorable the other way.
Yes, and that's a great example. So, some of the growers have said, I didn't do anything, and then now I'm behind the eight ball because the market's gone down so far. And you'd actually just kind of not do the opposite, but you'd want to, lock things. You could set up a U.S. dollar account and convert dollars. If you are sitting on Canadian dollars and this purchase is going to be, you could convert dollars, Canadian dollars, and convert that into U.S. If you're concerned that it's going to continue to tumble, you could, instead of buying futures on the Canadian dollar, you'd actually sell futures on the Canadian dollar. So if the Canadian dollar did strengthen, if we did see that appreciation, then when you go to buy that machinery and write that check in U.S. dollars, it's actually going to be less painful. But if you sell on the futures, so you're going to put a protective hedge on, if the market goes down, that check you're going to have to write in U.S. dollars is going to be that much more painful. But there's going to be some protection with your Canadian dollar hedge that maybe you sold at 80 cents and now it's slipped to 75. You've got 5 cents of protection that your trading account is going to be buffered and help reduce some of the painful currency exchange that you're going to see when you write that check to buy that machinery or bring that product, whatever you're importing from the U.S. to the farm.
Mm-hmm. So overall, Keith, would you say that there's room for Canadian farmers to utilize some of these currency risk management tools more than they do, or have we seen, are you seeing more farmers interested in and participating in these types of tools?
We've seen some participation. It depends on your product and where you're moving it. If you're a grower in, say, central Saskatchewan, and most of your flows are, the canola market is affected or is responding to the currency market. It's a market that's traded in Canadian dollars. So if the Canadian dollar is going up or down, the market sees that, or that is transferred into the futures market directly. So do you have to then go out and do an extra hedge? I don't believe you do. It's already there. If you're not getting the benefit of the Canadian dollar movement in your wheat, then to me you're kind of doubling up. So I don't think I would put that hedge on. But if you're producing a product, or you're looking at bringing machinery into central Saskatchewan or southern Manitoba, and you're selling soybeans into the U.S. and southern Manitoba, then I think you want to be looking at those ways of protecting yourself. I guess maybe now looking backwards, it's easy to say, look how far the dollar's come down, or, be prepared for any kind of further slide in the Canadian dollar. It's good to look at and say, take a step back and say, how could we have protected ourselves? And I think many growers are seeing that and realizing that I've got to do something a little different here. This was not a good experience. This was a painful experience. And it's certainly going to slow the movement of machinery and other products out of the U.S. into Canada. But one thing we've seen in the Canadian dollar over the years is it going to move around. It's definitely volatile. And there may be opportunities that this market rights itself where we see the dollar start to appreciate back up. And we want to take that as an experience to say, how do I protect my operation? How do I hedge my position? And what tools should I be looking at to do that?
I'm thinking with any volatile market, when it's volatile, it's easier to, or you can justify the costs of hedging or taking a position.
I think it's warranted, right? You can justify it, and livestock producers that have been selling product into the U.S. have been hedging their Canadian dollar positions for years. Grain companies that are exporting large sums of money, large positions or large tonnage, they're hedging themselves all the time.
All right. Well, thanks for walking us through currency risk and some of the ways of managing this, Keith. We appreciate your time.
Thanks, Kelvin.
Well, if currency is a risk area that you were interested in or hoping to take a step forward in, hopefully Keith's description, his explanation, makes things a bit easier to understand, or maybe just reaffirm something that you already were thinking. That example of buying equipment out of the States, or say for chicken farmers, buying breeding stock out of the U.S., that purchase, it gets a lot more expensive at a 75-cent dollar instead of at par. So like almost everything in farming, depending on whether you make the move and when you make the move, currency and exchange rates can be described as both a risk and an opportunity. Thanks again to Keith Furley of RBC for taking the time to walk us through this. And stay tuned for the next episode of Mind Your Farm Business here on Real Agriculture.